Welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, co-host here with Father John Sims Baker. He is the Vice Rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum, and I am a clinical counselor here in Columbus. How you doing, Father?
Great, Mary Ann. It's good to be here. Oh, I'm finer than a frog's hair. See, you messed me up.
Father and I have so much fun together.
It's obviously your fault.
It's my fault. It's my fault. We had this false start, but we're having fun already.
And finer than a frog's hair is mighty fine, by the way.
That's mighty fine.
Right.
And if you're wondering what we just did there, this is Father from Nashville. This
exactly.
is one of those Nashville
right.
things.
Exactly.
Exactly. So you can see that we have this, we have fun on this show. It's Abiding in Hope, and hope is, you know, there's hope in humor, isn't there, Father?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It brings joy to people, and joy and hope are united together. So we hope that in this first minute of the show, we haven't totally thrown you off track.
Stay with us.
Yes, we'll get better as we go on. I think it's a good time for a prayer, Father.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. And lift up today everyone who is listening to this program and those who have sent in their questions. We lift them up and place them in your hands so that they may know the tremendous love that you have for them and that they can be filled with hope in your faithfulness, that you are good, that you are always faithful, that you are always true to yourself. As a loving Father to each one of us. And so in that confidence, we come before you today and know that joy that comes from being your children. And we ask these prayers through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. It was a beautiful prayer, and it really kind of redirected me to where we're supposed to be with this show. I forgot to tell you, our listeners, that you can send your own questions to us. This show is about you, and it's about how we might help you, give you hope in the midst of all of the challenges, struggles, and just sometimes just plain out questions, whatever you have about life. We're here for you, and of course, Father is the great expert in this show, and I'm just along for the ride.
But I don't think that's quite right, Mary Ann, but...
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway, so it's abidinginhope.com. That's where you can go and you can drop off your questions. We would love to have them. And we need them. Actually, they keep Father and I in line. They give us something to do here, right? Otherwise, this would be bad if we didn't have questions. There's
yeah,
no telling what we would do.
I
know.
It
wouldn't be good. So, Father, we have our first question here. And this is what it is. Let's see. It's from Anonymous. Hi, Father Baker and Mary Ann. I often find myself buried alive by what-if thinking. My mind ruminates on the worst-case scenarios, even as my heart says, Jesus, I trust in you. What steps can I take to let go of the negative thinking and really trust God with my tomorrows? Oh, and I love the P.S. on this. P.S., thank you for this wonderful program. Yeah. Somebody likes us.
That's great. It's good to know.
Okay, I'm tossing that one to you.
Well, I think that that last part of her of the statement, to let go of negative thinking and really trust God with my tomorrows, was frankly really to live today and not in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, to live in the present moment, to try to see the great potential and reality of now. I was reading somewhere recently talking about the real danger of this sort of future thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was saying that this is where, that's where the devil lives. He lives in the future. Everything that the devil tries to get us to do is something that's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
His temptations are always, you know, and that's sort of the devil's territory.
Mm-hmm.
The past, in what I was reading, said is the place of gratitude, where we can find gratitude. And the present is the place of charity. The only place in which we can exercise charity and also experience that poured into our hearts, that love of God that's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so I think that's the maybe this acceptance of the present moment, of really living in the now, and seeing that every moment is full of meaning. Every moment. And it's possible to live fully, but only now. Only now. You can only live in the present. And that's our contact with eternity as well. That's our experience of eternity. Everything to the Father is now. Everything is present in heaven. And so here and now we do go through life sequentially. And, you know, there's a little bit of a sense in which we think about tomorrow, but we need to live in this moment. And I think this is the place where this program, with its emphasis on hope, can be very, very helpful. Because hope is confidence in the fidelity of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hope isn't about us. Hope is about God. And God is faithful. God is true to himself. And that is really our hope, that our situations change. We find ourselves in, you know, different circumstances. But God is beyond change and is ever faithful to himself, ever faithful to his love. And so we can abide in hope, live and remain in hope in the present moment. And so that's what I encourage you to do is just, and I think just, and again, this may be a little bit more up your alley, Marianne, but create a habit of living in the present. And when you find yourself, you know, thinking about those tomorrows, and especially if you're finding fear and anxiety, just keep coming back. Keep coming back to the present. Focus and repeat that over and over and over again so mm-hmm. that you find and live in the present moment. I think that's really the and then see how you experience God now and allow him to fill you with hope, with his fidelity to who he is. Right now, stop, pray. Anytime you have a chance, go and put yourself in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place, where you can find this and then carry it with you. You know, carry that with you. Don't lose it, and then keep coming back to it.
You know, there's such great spiritual wisdom in what you were saying there, but it's also great psychological wisdom, you know, because really stopping in those moments when you're ruminating or having the catastrophic thinking, the worst case scenarios, all of that. Well, and this is a little bit of humor in this moment, but if you just stop it, you know, have you ever seen that ridiculous Bob Newhart video?
I really have.
Stop it.
I have a
right?
good friend
it's
at
Mad
home
TV.
Who's a clinical psychologist.
Yes. And yes.
His children came across that video of that and they said, "Dad, that's about you." Stop
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. What he did there was he did take actually a good sound psychology and stop. You know, that's what we do. But of course, he did a tremendous spoof on mm-hmm. it, which was great. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend all of you
very funny.
To go. It's on Mad TV, YouTube, Mad TV. Bob Newhart, Stop It. And if you put those words in, you would have a few laughs. It's guaranteed. But anyway, practically speaking, if you find yourself ruminating, that is a moment to really, as Father said, you know, stop there and stay in the present moment and really think about what am I thinking about? What is it that's at the source of this? It's interesting when you talked, Father, about living in the present moment, and it reminded me of that little book, Practice of the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence.
Yes.
That's just a popular book that's, I don't know when that, that's been kind of out forever, but that's what, you know, if you're taking that present moment and you're inserting God there and you're repeating that practice, as he uses the word practice of the presence of God in that moment, bringing God there, when you're ruminating, when you're having the catastrophic thinking, when there's all of those what ifs, number one, you have no proof of any of those things is real, that it's going to happen. You only have right now. You don't have, as Father said, those tomorrows, those what ifs, but you have right now what you can do here and now. And all of the ruminating in the world isn't going to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help anything. It's just kind of making you more like the hamster on the wheel that can't get off.
Right.
So we're saying stop that wheel and jump off of that wheel and sit down wherever you are and say a prayer and then map out a practical plan for what's going on. Bringing it down on paper or making it practical takes it out of your head, and it gives you something that you can perhaps do something about. But bringing God into that very first moment is what's so important and helping you to redirect.
I think there's a great spiritual classic, a couple of things I'd recommend. Another sort of classic book. This is by Jean-Pierre de Caussade, The Abandonment to Divine Providence.
Yes, yes,
I think that's a very good work, sort of a classical, older.
Yes.
And in sort of contemporary times, another author I think is very helpful in this area. It's just about anything by Father Jacques Philippe,
mm-hmm.
Especially this idea he has and promotes of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I think you stop again and place yourself back in the present and accept that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Accept the life that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
Accept your life from God, you know, and get real, accept.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another thing that can help so much.
Exactly. And then in that moment, as you're accepting that and you're praying to God for help, you know what? Leave it there. Surrender it to him. If it's something that you feel that you have no hope on, he has all the answers. Give it to him. Take it to the foot of the cross. And either just leave it there or pray for the grace for a solution. Whatever this is, he will help you through that. If you're praying and you're surrendering everything that you're going through at that moment, the solutions come through the grace that he gives.
I think this sort of thinking sometimes is a temptation to control.
Yes, it is. The anxiety, the catastrophic thinking, the worst case scenarios, the rumination, the what ifs, they're all signs of anxiety. And anxiety is a fear about the future, and that rumination is an attempt to control whatever the future is or control the present moment in some way, control all the variables. You know what? We can't do that, and that's not our job. That's God's job to do that. And there's another thing that was coming to my mind when you were talking about the present moment. And this goes to how our brains are made. We have these three parts of our brain going from the bottom up, and then we have these two sides of our brain. But if we talk about the three parts, we have the brainstem, the midbrain, and then the cerebral cortex. So the brainstem is where that's that fight or flight kind of that, the reptilian brain is, where if there's something that we're fearful of, we either dig in like a tiger and we're going to attack it, or we run away. Our emotions are parked in our midbrain area, and that's where we kind of get flooded with all of this stuff. So if we go downward on our brain, we're thinking, I either have to fight this thing, I have to figure out how I'm going to fight, or I'm going to go isolate and hide, and maybe it'll go away. But, you know, God gave us this cerebral cortex, and that's where if we use that in terms of our faith, That's where this stuff all happens. You know, our faith is really parked there too, in, you know, in our heart and our soul, and it goes along with all this stuff in our midbrain too. But we call upon God using our cerebral cortex, and all of this stuff can come together so beautifully. Right. We don't have to run away, and right. we don't have to fight.
And it's true not only of your brain, but of your soul as
of your
well.
Soul,
the
yeah.
The higher powers of your soul,
yeah.
your understanding and your will,
mm-hmm.
Use them to help to direct the lower, which is like the imagination, which is what
yeah.
you're suffering from here.
Yeah.
Perhaps the and your emotions. Those are not bad things, but they need to be directed by those higher powers, by that understanding and the will. First, mainly understanding the love that God has for you,
mm-hmm.
and then choosing to go toward that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful way of saying that. I never thought of it quite in that way before. It's amazing always to me how, you know, faith and science come together. They are not separate in any sort
no.
of way. And we want to, well, not we, but oftentimes society wants to say, you know, that they're not, but they work so beautifully together. So if you're just tuning in and listening to us and wondering what we're talking about and why we're talking about it, I'm Mary Ann Jepson. My co-host is Father John Sims Baker. You're listening to Abiding in Hope, and we are here to take your questions and hopefully bring you some good, solid answers which really offer hope for the challenges of life. And so, Father, we do have another question here. This comes from a woman in her late 20s, and this is what it says. Dear Father Baker and Mary Ann, I'm in my late 20s. I have been dating a man for about a year. Our Catholic faith is very important to us, and we are involved in many church activities together. We get along very well, and he is beginning to talk about marriage. I, on the other hand, am very uncertain in the relationship and am questioning if I might have a religious vocation. This is a very difficult time for me. I would appreciate any words of advice. Thank you. So, what do you have to say, Father?
Well, I think this is one time where we're going to maybe agree to disagree a little bit, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know,
okay.
but we'll
no,
see.
Maybe, maybe not.
What I'm going to say, I know it's probably going to be hard for this listener to hear, and maybe others in similar situations, but I think it's impossible to discern two vocations simultaneously. And so what you have to decide is, which one are you going to discern? I think in this case, the first question, since this idea of the religious vocation seems to have sort of come in maybe more recently, or there's not that much detail, is first of all to sort of see, you know, to question that. Do I need to do something about this, or is this really just a distraction? You know, maybe are some of my uncertainties about my relationship, or maybe some fears that I have, is this a distraction from that? And do I need to choose to focus on my relationship, especially since your boyfriend is getting very serious apparently? You need to focus on that. And I think you need to set aside the question of the religious vocation, and really not come back to it
mm-hmm.
really until or if you think, no, this isn't just a distraction, this is something that I think God really may be calling me to. Then I think then if that's the case, then you need to be able to discern that, but I don't. You can't do it at the same time. And I think you would really need, in all fairness and charity to your boyfriend, as hard as that is going to be, I think, break off this relationship so that you can discern that one really in freedom. A beautiful faith-based kind of relationship like this, though, does have some dangers of rationalization. We can work on this together kind of thing. Well, that's just really not going to work, actually, to tell you the truth, with all the goodwill and no malice on my part intended. But I think you have to decide which one of these you're going to pursue and then pursue it, and you have to get rid of the other one.
And so you might wonder why Father said in the beginning that we would, this might be one of those things where we would agree to disagree. And I don't think we really disagree. But we had talked about this question before we went on the air. And I see a number of people who are in, say, maybe their 20s to mid-30s or even up to their 40s, very faithful young people, which is a beautiful thing. Oftentimes people who have been highly involved in youth group and various faith activities through high school, middle school, high school, and then they continue as young adults, and they find each other. So these are people who are the conversation is very open, typically, between them. They understand the vocation discernment at some level, and they also understand the commitment of marriage. They're maybe having beautifully chaste relationships. And so as I was looking at this question, while I very much understand that, as this woman wrote, it's a very difficult time for me. I sense that she really, really likes this guy and maybe is interested in marriage, but then feels like, gosh, I don't want to hurt him. And I really feel like my faith is so important and God might be calling me to that. So here's where Father and I maybe took a little bit of a different approach. He used the word break up, that you can't have two lovers at one time. Okay, that's true. And I think that they both love the Lord. Father used the word break up, and I use the phrase take a break. So I would say, like, you cannot have the relationship you've been having if you, whatever that is, you can't be like going and having coffee together or going out to dinner or doing movies and, you know, whatever. If you have to somehow take a break from that relationship, whether that's 3 months, 6 months, whatever, where you've switched up the relationship completely and you are focusing on the other thing. You're doing retreats. You're really focusing on the vocation aspect of the religious vocation aspect, not the vocation of marriage. You're focusing on that and giving that equal time that you did for the other in every way. If that's praying, that's in spiritual direction, that's getting away and having retreats and changing your life, then, see, I'm looking at it from that poor guy that's out there who really wants it. And I just feel like that's not giving him any hope. So maybe I want to be nice about it. And Father's the heavy here.
Well, yes.
You may be just stringing him along, though.
Well,
that's true, too. But I would say that the change in the relationship would be, you know, no. The ground rules would be that he could also just, whatever happens in that amount of time, she's really pursuing this other love and really seeing. So is it fair or is it unfair to him? I'm not sure. Or is it stringing? I wouldn't say, because I see this as if they're two open people and they understand
it. I think one thing I would recommend, and this might be unrealistic, but in the best of all possible situations, I would recommend each of these people to have a spiritual director.
Yes, I don't think I
And that. One of the things that is very, very helpful about spiritual direction and in the spiritual tradition is to trust and obey your spiritual director in all things.
Yes.
To be completely transparent with them and then to obey them in anything except sin. You know, of course, if they told you to do something that's sinful, you can't do that. But it's very hard, I think, just for ordinary people out there sometimes to really find a spiritual director that they're able to have that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm realizing that might be unrealistic, but I would say that would be the best case scenario. And then you can go through that. And I think that, you know, there were, you could weigh these sort of things and then trust their guidance.
Right.
In this.
Yes. So. Yes. So the bottom line in all of this is listen to Father and don't listen to me on this one, because he knows if I know. No. And he's shaking his head.
No.
I see, as a counselor, I always send him to a priest, a spiritual. I just,
and then I send him back to you.
You can't win. Anyway, Father, I'm thinking, are there any other thoughts on this?
Well, again, I know that you're praying. I gotta say, if you have to have a problem, this is a pretty good problem to have, to tell you the truth.
Beautiful. Yes.
If you can look at that and maybe think about in the future, you don't see what your future is, but God does. And so you can trust and have hope in that. Mm-hmm. That trust him. He already sees your future. He sees your fulfillment. And so you can trust him more than you can trust yourself.
Yeah.
Because he sees it when we don't. And again, even about something like this, to have peace and just trust God. He sees your fulfillment already.
Mm, that's so
even
beautiful.
Even though we don't.
Amen to that, Father. And, well, we've come to the end of another show. It just goes so quickly. So I guess it's time for, if you would please, send us off with a blessing.
Well, let us entrust this couple and all of our listeners, especially to our Blessed Mother, as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And until next time, be blessed.